Over three consecutive Mondays this November, we woke up to news from three different drug companies reporting promising results from three separate COVID vaccines. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer-Kent, and this is your State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. The Wall Street Journal reports that United Airlines has started shipping doses of Pfizer's vaccine into the company's Pleasant Prairie distribution site in Kenosha County. If you follow the money, economists at Goldman Sachs are betting that by May 2021, half of the U.S. will have been vaccinated. But which half? Which vaccine? And who can help make the rollout of a vaccination in Wisconsin as successful as, I don't know, say, Tommy Thompson smashing things on social media? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. Ideas at WPR.org if you'd like to email us. Our guest is Sarah Sorum. She's the Executive Vice President and CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Lee.
You have a plan for a vaccination rollout in Wisconsin. But before we get there, I would like to start with how our pharmacists across Wisconsin have played a role in testing for COVID-19. Give us some insight here in what role pharmacists have played in the last 8 months in us trying to get a handle on this pandemic, Sarah.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me this morning. This is an important topic. Pharmacists are highly trained healthcare providers located in communities across the state. And what we've seen during this pandemic from all healthcare providers is an all hands on deck approach. And pharmacists have been part of the testing solutions in counties across the state. We have pharmacists that are running drive-through testing clinics, testing people in sun and rain and the cold weather we've had, and really helping to have communities respond.
So as you continue to deal with this, you have sent a letter to the state legislature saying that you have a plan in place for the distribution of vaccines across the state of Wisconsin. Can you give us some idea of how this plan was developed and whether or not you've received any response so far from the state legislature, Sarah?
Sure. We've really been working in collaboration with a lot of partners and stakeholders, the Wisconsin Immunization Program, as part of the Department of Health Services in Wisconsin, has done an amazing job of engaging us and other stakeholders in discussing the rollout of the vaccines. And we should say vaccines, not just a singular vaccine, because there will likely be more than one. And pharmacists, again, with that all-hands-on-deck approach, because of their location in communities and because of their roles within health systems, play a critical role in responding and assisting with the distribution plan for the vaccines. And so we think that there's a few regulatory and legislative opportunities for pharmacists to be able to serve in that role more fully. For example, we have a great group of trained student pharmacists across the state. There's three schools of pharmacy in the state, and right now the law limits students to have completed 2 years of pharmacy school before they can help with immunization services. We think that student pharmacists are ready to do that right away after they receive some additional training at the beginning of their 4 years or 3 years of study. So that's one of the asks. We also have a group of pharmacy technicians, a huge group of pharmacy technicians that could help with that all-hands-on-deck approach and can be trained to, under the delegation of a pharmacist, assist with a COVID vaccine administration program. So those are a couple of the asks that we've put forward for both the legislature and the governor. We think this is a really important time for all parties to work together to support the healthcare providers at the front lines.
And there's some concern about where everybody fits in line or in a queue to get this vaccine. And for some, they're insured by their employer. For others, they have Medicaid. For some, they are uninsured completely. How are pharmacists treated differently than other healthcare providers when it comes to insurance and Medicaid, Sarah?
Yeah, so there will need to be a phased approach for the distribution of the vaccine. There won't be enough of the vaccines for everybody to receive it on day one. So there's been a lot of great conversations that have happened at the state level in particular related to how the vaccine that's supplied will roll out and over what period of time. And so, for example, the first individuals that will be vaccinated will be healthcare providers at the front lines. We need these individuals to be continuing to be able to serve at the front lines and respond to these surges that we've been having within hospitals. So that's an example of the first group that would receive the vaccine. There's also long-term care facilities that we know are at high risk for complications related to the vaccine. Patients that live in these facilities would be one of the other first groups to be immunized. So, yes, pharmacies traditionally have been treated as a building where product is dispensed, and we really believe, and over time pharmacists have shown, that they are healthcare providers that should be having healthcare provider parity related to reimbursement. So one of the other asks that we have is that we want to be sure that all doors to immunization services are open and that insurance policy needs to recognize pharmacists as providers of vaccine and have parity of reimbursement so that a patient can choose to go to their clinic or they can choose to go to their pharmacy to be immunized.
And that was one of the proposals that was put forth to the state legislature?
Yes, it is.
Have you received any response yet?
We're definitely in close communication with both the governor's office and the legislature, and we're optimistic about making sure that this all hands-on-deck approach can be achieved.
Our guest is Sarah Sorum. She's the head of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. And pharmacists, would you like to see state lawmakers address COVID-19? And how? What plans would you like to see in place for the vaccine rollout? 1-800-642-1234 is a phone number, or email ideas at WPR.org. Do you have some concerns about where you stand in the queue and whether or not you would be considered essential employee or priority? I think, Sarah, that is what most folks are wondering, is where they fit in the grand scheme of things. Does the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin have any plan for who gets what and when, or is that still to be decided by, you mentioned healthcare workers and then the nursing homes, but then after that, who goes next?
Yeah, we are engaged in the conversations about that, but there's a group, the State Disaster Medical Advisory Committee, a group of interdisciplinary stakeholders that are talking about the further fleshing out the plan that Department of Health Services has developed for how that vaccine will be distributed and prioritized. I wish that there was going to be enough for everybody on day one, but that just won't be the case. So it will need to be a rollout of priority groups to try and have the most public health impact as possible. And that'll be done with the ethical framework that SDMAC has put forward, and really transparent, and I applaud that group for their work on that prioritization. I think the most important thing I want people to know is that, vaccines are really a very important science-based solution out of this pandemic, but there's also factors that we can do right now that impact stopping the spread. Wearing a mask, washing hands, physical distancing. It's so hard to do right now, particularly with the holidays. My family stayed home over Thanksgiving, and we did a Zoom pie baking and a Zoom Thanksgiving dinner. But what we're doing is helping those healthcare providers at the front lines be able to take care of us.
Yes.
And take care of one another.
And these vaccines present a potential light at the end of this pandemic tunnel, but we've got to get there from here. And that light might seem further away for healthcare providers and people on the front lines right now than it does for everybody else. And Sarah, some of the concerns seem to be deeply rooted in health disparities in Wisconsin and across the country. Have pharmacists seen some of these health disparities from their point of view, and have they seen those disparities impacted by this pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I think with everything in our day-to-day lives that the pandemic has exacerbated those issues and challenges. So healthcare disparities are certainly one of those things. We've seen the gaps related to other immunizations widen in populations that already had inequality related to vaccination receipt. And so pharmacists have, because of their location in the community, over 90% of people live within 5 miles of a pharmacy. So whether that's in your rural community or in an inner city, urban, underserved area, pharmacists are playing a role in getting health care and primary care to populations that need it. And so immunization services are one of those things. The testing is another. Other public health responses, like the distribution of naloxone for overdose, those are tobacco cessation, smoking cessation, all of these things that were important before the pandemic continue to be important now, and we need to position the care where people need it.
So the pharmacists of Wisconsin are ready to step up, front forward, and be right on the front lines of distributing this vaccine across the state of Wisconsin. They have a plan. They have sent a letter to the state legislature and are working now. Do we have a timeline, Sarah, of now that we know that the CDC director says in 2 weeks we'll have vaccines for nursing homes, Dr. Fauci says by the end of the month we'll have distribution in the states. What does your timeline look like?
Yeah, my understanding, and this changes on a day-to-day basis, but my understanding is the Advisory Council on Immunization Practices, which is part of CDC, and they make all the vaccine recommendations for the country. They'll be meeting likely mid-December to review both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and the data that we're seeing, at least from press releases, is really promising. So, you know, I think the early vaccine will be distributed potentially by the end of the year, but most of us will probably be receiving it well into 2021. And so right now it's important to follow all those preventative measures until that time.
We're discussing how the law can enable pharmacists to better address the COVID-19 response in Wisconsin, and our guest is the CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, Sarah Sorum. Take your calls next at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You know, on a typical morning here at the Ideas Network, I'd be in the control room right now, listening, turning things on and off, up or down, but mostly just listening. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I've heard your concerns, your calls, and questions about where you will find a place in line when it comes time for a COVID vaccine. And that time appears to be coming. And Wisconsin's pharmacists want to help, and they have a plan. Will it address your very real concerns? For those who have been critical of the government's response or lack of response to this pandemic, what would it take to overcome your skepticism? 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Sarah Sorum. She's the Executive Vice President and CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Let's go to your call now. Ray in Janesville, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Good morning to you. My question is, I mean, I understand this, the first responders are first to get the shot, but why isn't essential workers second in line? I mean, I drive a truck. I've been out here 11 months and have kept myself safe so far. But all it's going to take is one time, you know, for me to get infected. I can't understand why we're not second in line for these vaccination shots.
Ray, I appreciate your call, and I will just echo that sentiment for those that go into the grocery store. You'd want to make sure that everybody's as safe as possible who's going to be around you. It's part of the some of the stories that we're hearing, Sarah. And how would you address these concerns?
Yeah, Ray, thanks for your question, and thanks for all you're doing for responding to the pandemic. We have so many important essential workers that are really playing a critical role in keeping us going during this pandemic, so thanks for your work in that. You know, essential workers, whether they're driving truck or they're in grocery stores or shipping packages or you know, in a meatpacking plant, are definitely a priority group for immunization services related to COVID. And so the group, that SDMAC, that State Disaster Medical Advisory Committee, is really looking at how they can get the vaccine to those essential worker groups as soon as possible.
Let's go to Jerry from Glendale. Jerry, you're on the Ideas Network with Sarah Sorum. Good morning.
Thank you so much. I'm 72 years old, and as soon as that vaccine is available, I'm going to be standing right there rolling up my sleeve to get my vaccination. It's well documented that there are large percentages of our population who have decided they're not going to be vaccinated. We need to have a certain number of people get vaccinated in order to have herd immunity. And the challenge is how to get people to see themselves as part of a larger community, not just interested in their own particular self-concern. So for the pharmacist, for Sarah, do you know of any particular widespread plan to increase community buy-in to this godsend that we have with the vaccine?
That vaccine confidence issue is so very critical. You just hit the nail right on the head that, you know, we need to have a comprehensive way to address concerns related to vaccine hesitancy and build up vaccine confidence. So really, I think that's what's happening now is it's a conversation between public health professionals and healthcare providers and community leaders to talk about people like you that are ready to be in line to roll up their sleeves. I'll be right there with you when it's my time to receive that vaccine. I'm excited to be vaccinated and get my family vaccinated. So how can we spread those messages and communicate that? So there's really some great conversations and plans that are being implemented to enhance that vaccine confidence. You know, it's happened fast. Science really stepped up and responded. And what the U.S. government is doing is making an investment in the manufacturing of the vaccine in parallel with the research studies so that the vaccine is available much faster than it would be if a company waited for all of those studies to come in and then started manufacturing. So because of that happening in parallel, you know, there's like, well, how can the vaccine be available so fast? Well, it's going through all of the same safety steps and trial steps that it would have gone through otherwise, but it's being manufactured in parallel and will be available much sooner as a result. So the financial risk that the company would have taken on is now being taken on by the U.S. government.
Our guest is Sarah Sorum, Executive Vice President and CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. And Sarah, some of the COVID-19 vaccines were reportedly working their way towards approval are going to require extreme cold storage. Much of Wisconsin made up of small and spread out communities within 5 miles from a pharmacy, but are they going to be within 5 miles from this cold storage, which may be required for some of these vaccines?
Yeah, so the vaccine that will likely be available first, the Pfizer vaccine, does require ultra-cold storage. And the other vaccines, though, do not, at least not what we're seeing currently. So it's really that very first vaccine that will likely be geared towards healthcare providers and potentially long-term care facilities. And so my understanding is the state is working on a hub-and-spoke model where there will be places that are able to accommodate that ultra-cold storage where the vaccine will go first, and then individual or providers that are administering the vaccine will get the vaccine from those ultra-cold storage hubs and use that spoke model to administer the vaccine. So there's really a lot of behind-the-scenes tactical work that's going on to make that cold chain storage work.
So with these three potential vaccines, I think all three of them are going to require two doses. How is that going to work out logistically? What kind of data management are pharmacists, doctors, and healthcare providers going to use to try to keep all that organized?
Yeah, Wisconsin residents are really blessed in that we have an amazing immunization registry, the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, that's used for, and pharmacists are required to report into that registry. All vaccines that are administered for COVID will have to be reported to that registry within 24 hours. So the registry will have a record of which vaccine you received and when you received it and when you'll be due for the follow-up vaccine. So that registry will really be an important tool that healthcare providers can use to make sure that you receive that second dose appropriately.
So I'd be interested in knowing if others have turned to their pharmacy during this pandemic. I have to honestly report I do believe Walgreens checks in on my parents once a day, and for that I am grateful. But if you have some insight into this, if you're a pharmacist yourself and you're ready to roll out the vaccine, let us know at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Sarah Sorum, so from your perspective, what is vaccine confidence like among Wisconsinites? Are we going to be able to achieve some sort of safe immunity once the vaccine rollout is done?
Well, I'm really optimistic that there's amazing frontline public health professionals and healthcare providers addressing this pandemic from all sides, including vaccine distribution and vaccine confidence. And, you know, pharmacists are shown to be one of the top trusted healthcare professionals. And I'm so glad to hear that your parents are being checked in on regularly by a pharmacist. We have pharmacists across the state that are just really heroic during this pandemic time in taking care of the medication and public health needs of their patients. And so I think the future is bright as it relates to immunization services in Wisconsin.
If the people are willing to accept safe vaccines in Wisconsin. We had another caller who couldn't stay with us. Paula said she's hearing from coworkers they're not going to get a vaccine. And the interesting part here, Sarah, is we talk about the importance of this distribution and you know, a safe and reliable distribution system could actually aid and abet a confidence level for this vaccine, right?
Absolutely. I think the distribution is, and making sure that the distribution is equitable, transparent, and also done well, executed well, really feed into our confidence around the vaccine.
Sarah Sorum, thank you so much for your time this morning. I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be with you.
Sarah Sorum is the Executive Vice President and CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, who has sent a letter with a plan to the state legislature about how we can roll out in an organized and safe way the vaccines that are on the way. Just ahead, we're spotlighting Wisconsin's healthcare workers and nurses on the front lines of this pandemic. Our guests are here to share their latest challenges and take a look back at the last 8 months and a look ahead to the next year. With a light at the end of the tunnel, how far away does it feel for our healthcare workers, for our nurses? I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.